Senior Focus.
Good morning or hello. This is Richard Barter here to talk about transport issues again on a frosty Auckland day. How is it where you're living? A couple of reasons that got me interested in the whole thing of what powers our vehicles came up. I attended a Future of Freight workshop in Auckland a couple of weeks ago where various forms of energy were discussed that potentially could be fueling, in this case it was trucks, but very likely all sorts of heavy and light vehicles in the future. There were presentations on biofuel from Z Energy. There were a woman who was the president of a hydrogen fuel organization there. And of course, there were a number of presenters talking about electric powered vehicles. All of these things are, or some of these things are probably going to be the main way that we fuel up our vehicles in the future. The big challenge for everyone, of course, is how soon and how will that change take place? Because for all the big operators of heavy vehicles, they're having to plan ahead and buy and order vehicles. The big challenge for us in New Zealand is that we are at the long, long end of a tail of supply chain for these things, and it makes it very difficult to get hold of just what we want for our situation here. And of course, we've got elections coming up in Auckland, as we have all around the country for local body positions, and we have one candidate in Auckland who is promoting electric buses, which are fantastic. But I know that they're hard to get hold of because the demand is so high in Europe and in China for these vehicles. And so that's going to be an issue that we're going to have to deal with in the future. The other thing that made me think a lot about this was a couple of weeks ago, I had to have a day in the Waikato meeting operators of heavy vehicles, and I was to drive down from Auckland, and I thought I would hire an electric car. This is a fully electric car, so there's no hybrid. So that was a very interesting day, and I headed off. I didn't have really any instruction from the hire company, and just pressed the button and then pressed it again to make it go, and it started, and everything was pretty easy. I had arranged to meet friends in Cambridge at a cafe where I knew that there was a charging station across the road. And Julie got there, met the friends, and went to plug in the car. And of course, I had not done that before or received any instructions on how to do it. But fortunately, it had a common plug. Did you know that electric cars have all sorts of different plugs? Fortunately, that was a common plug on the car that I had, and was able to get it to fit. And after downloading an app, as you do, and putting in my credit card details, and finally making a little call to the help desk, who was right there and very helpful, got the car charging. And in the end, that didn't prove to be a problem at all. And I managed to get home back to the rental place with the required amount of battery life left. And the day's driving cost about $8, which I thought was pretty good. It got me to think about, well, how do we power our vehicles these days? The great majority, of course, are powered by petrol. But there are quite a few others that people are working on. Of course, we all know that there is a challenge in for all countries around the world to reduce emissions, both carbon emissions and of course, emissions that pollute the air. And so there are lots of alternative fuels that are being investigated and in some cases used quite widely. But before we get on to looking at alternative fuels, we're going to Dream a Little Dream of Me with Ella Fitzgerald.
Shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you miss me. While I'm alone and blue as can be, dream a little dream of me.
Stars fading, but I linger on, dear.
Oh, how you linger.
Still craving your kiss.
How you crave my kiss.
Now I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just sing this.
Give me a little kiss, sweet dreams, till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worry behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Buzz, 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 fading, but I linger on, dear. Still craving your kiss. Yeah, I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just saying this. Sweet dreams, dreaming.
Till something's fine, you keep dreaming.
Gotta keep dreaming.
Dreams, whatever they be, you've got to make me a promise.
Oh, yeah.
Promise to me
you'll dream.
Dream a little dream of me.
Ella Fitzgerald, Dream a Little Dream of Me. I think it's good to dream a little, don't you? Well, electric fuels, alternative fuels. We may have heard of biofuels. We actually have them available in New Zealand and even in some of our aeroplanes and heavy vehicles, they mix biofuels in with diesel. And I remember visiting a recycling depot up in Kaitaia, and one of the things they recycled up there was cooking oil, and they had a bus and a truck which they ran purely on that cooking oil. And once upon a time, people who produced waste cooking oil had to pay to have it taken away, and now it's quite a highly sourced, highly in-demand product for this very reason. So basically, the main purpose of fuel is to store energy, and it should be in a stable form that can be easily transported to the place of use. Now, that's a critical factor in the long-term choices that we'll make about the type of fuels that might power our vehicles in the future. And almost all fuels, in one way or another, involve chemicals. And the user employs this fuel to generate heat or perform mechanical work, such as powering an engine. And it may be used to generate electricity, which is then used for other purposes, as well as the driving of a vehicle. So biofuels, these are made from crops, often sugarcane, and they are in wide use in countries like Brazil and in the United States of America. Of course, some of the criticism of these are that we should be growing such crops for people to eat, and ethanol is the actual bit of it that makes the motor turn around, and they can come from hemp, sugarcane, potato, cassava, and corn, and but increased food prices has, again, as I say, put pressure on this as a fuel source. Biomass is another way of producing a fuel, and this is basically dead biological material which can be used for fuel or industrial production. It's become popular amongst coal power stations which switch from coal to biomass in order to convert renewable energy generation. And some of these are burnt, and wood chip and wood waste is a common example here in New Zealand, and particularly in some of the big sawmills. And of course, it can be converted into forms of biofuel, as can algae, which there's been a lot of talk about that. It's claimed that it can yield more than 2,000 gallons of fuel per acre. Sounds a bit funny, a big algae field. And these have been tested by the US Navy and do show the potential to reduce waste, and the cost can be cheaper than is currently thought, currently used. Again, we've talked a bit about biodiesel. We talked about the recycled oil, and so it can be made from animal fats. We have a lot of tallow in New Zealand, and this is something which is being used in a small way. It can come from soybeans, sunflowers, again, the corn, olive and peanut and palm, coconut, anything that produces oil. Once these are filtered from their hydrocarbons, can be combined with alcohol, like the methanol, and brought to life to make vehicles go. Now, hydrogen is an interesting one, which we heard our government announce funding for a research centre in the Taranaki, and to make use of all the talent and expertise they have there, which in the future may not be used for producing and developing new products from oil and gas. Hydrogen can be used in two ways. One is to create electricity in a fuel cell, and the other way is to use it as a gas and mix it with natural gas as a direct fuel. It's very interesting as a in the fuel cell side of things. However, it is quite expensive to produce, and it uses quite a lot of energy to produce, and it's one of the big challenges is moving it around. They put it under very high pressure into cylinders, so you can get a lot of mileage out of a cylinder of hydrogen fuel, but the big challenge, of course, is the cost of producing it and the cost of a whole new infrastructure system to make it a commonly used source of fuel. It is most likely to be used for in the heavy vehicle and buses as it's easier to get it in bulk to these facilities where they will power it up. Even compressed air is used. Of course, it has to be compressed, and an energy source is needed to do that. We are quite used to the idea of LPG in New Zealand, and LPG is cleaner burning and a high-performance fuel derived from multiple sources. It's got all sorts of different names, but it is a hydrocarbon fuel with some of the same problems that we have in terms of emissions. The emissions are lower than that of burning pure petrol or diesel, but they're still there. And when we are faced with the challenge of reducing emissions by, you know, a lot to keep global warming and the likes under control, LPG could be seen as a transition fuel, but people who are investing in the future are not going to be likely to invest in another hydrocarbon type fuel in a big way. Hey, we're going to listen to another track by Ella Fitzgerald now. This is called Someone to Watch Over Me.
Love is blind. Still, we're often told, seek and you shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only men I of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little
there you go, Ella Fitzgerald, Someone to Watch Over Me. Well, gosh, don't you think we need someone to watch over us with all these decisions to be made by people that we hope are doing it in our best interest? And particularly, I think of, my grandchildren. I'm sure many of you have grandchildren and wonder about the world that they're going to have to deal with. We hear a lot about climate warming and all of these things happening in the next few years, but so many of the big challenges seem to be a few years further down the track, ones that we potentially won't have to face. But our children and our grandchildren will be living in that world, and I guess we need to be understanding of just what's happening out there and able to make good choices in terms of supporting those who are making the decisions for us. Well, we've been talking about different types of fuel, and we've talked about a number of these. I'm just going to talk a little now about the whole idea of petrol and gasoline and where that came from. It's been around for a while, of course, and its advantage is that it is very dense in energy. And so we know a petrol tank in a car doesn't take up much room. It doesn't carry very much. It's not very heavy, and it can take us a long way. Of course, it comes from oil, which is pulled out of the ground. On average, a barrel of crude oil, which is about 160 litres, yields about 70-odd litres of gasoline. And amongst that, there are other products that come out. And it was first used in a combustion engine in 1903, an Otto engine developed in Germany. And, of course, it needed a whole new process to get that underway. One of the big reasons that it became popular was not because of cars, but because of ships. And Britain was one of the world's biggest industrial powers in the early 1900s. And, of course, as you know, was at war for a time with Germany. And the problem with coal is that left ships very exposed over the long period of time that it took to load ships with enough coal to do their trip. And it was found that oil at the time could be loaded into the ships quicker. And this is one of the reasons why the development of oil as a fuel became popular. Now, we've heard a lot, and I mentioned at the beginning about these electric vehicles out there. We have a government who is quite keen on supporting them, and we know we've heard suggestions for subsidising the cost of a new electric vehicle and potentially putting a bit of an extra bill on top of cars that emit a lot. And there's a lot of discussion around this. But I just want to talk about some of the terms around electric vehicles so that we kind of get a little bit up to speed. And there's a number of terms used. Of course, we're familiar with the hybrids, which have a electric motor and a petrol motor, usually petrol motor in them. Some of them are diesel. And so we also have plug-in hybrids, which again have all of that complexity of two systems, but they can be plugged in to charge up the battery. A battery electric vehicle is a pure electric vehicle, so there's no combustion in it. And this was the type of car that it was a Hyundai Ioniq that I hired those couple of weeks ago. Of course, the big challenge with the electric vehicles at the moment is their range, and this is something that has generated this term called range anxiety, which means that it's a bit of a barrier, I think, for some people who might be unsure of the whole business of charging and where to find charging stations. of course, there is actually a rapidly growing network of charging stations around the country. I read ECA, that's the government body that is charged with promoting environmentally sound transport solutions, and they give out quite a lot of money each year. And I read through some of the projects that they're supporting, and a lot of those projects are charging stations. And it won't be long before most supermarkets and a lot of sort of public-type shopping areas, you'll find in the car park there will be a charging station there. And so this is a big thing, this range anxiety, that the car that I hired, the Hyundai, had a range where they claimed a little over 200 kilometres, which is not too bad. It wasn't quite enough for me on that day to go around the Waikato for the day, but it only took about 18 minutes to charge that battery up to 80% of full, which 18 minutes, it's not too hard to see that charging take place while drinking a cup of coffee. And I think if I was a cafe owner, I'd be thinking about, particularly on our highways, I'd be thinking about looking into what it would take to have a charging station outside my cafe. So we've been looking at fuel and going forward, what might be the options for us. One of the ways that the government is endeavouring to make electric cars more affordable is to purchase them for their fleet. And this is a way that once they've used them for two or three years, there's still quite a lot of life left in those batteries, which is the big thing that's of value and determines the value of a second-hand electric vehicle. And so, wow, it's going to change. We know that's going to change, and we hope that these changes will do the best possible for our children. Hey, we're going to finish with our last song called Reaching for the Moon by Ella Fitzgerald. It's been lovely talking to you today. My name's Richard Barter. Bye for now.
The moon and you appear to be so near and yet so far from me, and here am I on a night in June reaching for the moon.
With Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.